So I was here about a month ago, and I had done two talks on the subject of mindfulness, particularly that the quality of mindfulness is a positive mental factor that always arises in conjunction with other positive mental factors. And I'm going to review that just briefly tonight, and then I'm going to talk about a specific technique to use in mindfulness practice that helps to refine our sense of the body and give us a better vocabulary for paying attention to the very subtle sensations that we notice in our bodies. This is a practice that's been very useful for me in my own practice in terms of, you know, just refining that awareness, and also as a way of connecting myself to the larger world. And I'll explain that as we go along too. So first of all, I'm going to just recap what I said a few weeks ago. And if you'll recall, I was talking about consciousness, and that in the Buddhist view of psychology, consciousness is an event that arises when a sense organ meets an object that it is sensing. So when a sense organ comes in contact with an object, that contact results in a moment of consciousness. And in our normal waking existence, these moments of consciousness arise so quickly and so continuously that it seems like an unbroken stream. But sometimes when we're meditating, we can actually see the individual moments arising and passing. Each moment of consciousness includes many mental factors, and these factors answer the question of what is going on here or what's happening. And each moment of consciousness also includes mental factors that answer the question, what am I going to do in response to this thing, or what attitude am I going to take toward this experience? Now, some of these mental factors are conducive to health and well-being, happiness, and some are not. But one thing that happens in each moment of consciousness is that healthy mental factors can only arise with other healthy mental factors, and unhealthy mental factors can only arise with other unhealthy mental factors. So they don't mix in any moment of consciousness. Mindfulness is a wholesome or healthy mental factor. Now, the reason I'm going through all this so precisely is because there's really good news in all of this for us, and that is that mindfulness is only present when there are not any unwholesome factors present. So, say that we're angry in a given moment. We may be aware that we're angry, but because anger is an unhealthy mental factor, it means that we cannot really be mindful in that moment. There's some portion of our consciousness which by definition will be carried away by the anger. But because moments of consciousness arise really rapidly, it is possible in the very next moment to be aware that we were angry in the previous moment and to be mindful of it. So all this is by way of saying, like I said, I'm not going to recap the entire talk from last time, but that mindfulness is not just awareness. I think we tend to kind of equate the two and think that mindfulness is just awareness in any moment. But really, it's awareness with an attitude, but not that attitude. Right? Awareness with an attitude that is wholesome, that is friendly toward experience. It's really an attitude of equanimity. So when we're taking an attitude of equanimity toward our experience, that means we're balanced in the middle. We're neither grasping onto it nor pushing it away. which again has lots of implications. The first one being that we're not struggling with our experience. So we're just allowing things to be how they are. And we've all experienced moments like this where we just are relaxed and not struggling with our experience, not trying to change anything. And the first thing that we notice is, what a relief. You know, just to be able to, like, wow, okay, so my leg hurts, but if I'm not struggling with it right now, there's just the sensations in my leg. If I'm not making a story about it, you know, it's just what's here now. I don't have to be trying to make it any different than how my leg's not hurting right now, just FYI, I made that up. But, you know, if we're not having to make it any different than it is, there's room for so much peace there. It's really lovely. So when we have this attitude of equanimity along with our awareness, that means that we're neither expressing greed nor aversion. So we're not trying to grasp onto anything or push anything away. And therefore, that implies a quality of loving kindness and generosity. So those, you know, it's really easy to see that those are healthy mind states. And they arise anytime that we're mindful. And every moment of mindfulness also coexists with several other beneficial mental factors. And I'm just going to mention them. But two of them I've been contemplating a lot lately, and that is they are self-respect and respect for others. So when we think about what that means the basic concept of non-harming. We're neither harming ourselves nor others. And that means, again, it brings another element of harmony into our experience. Really, non-harming is also the basis of an ethical code. And so mindfulness, when viewed in this way, also implies or includes a sense of morality, a sense of being in harmony and non-harming with the world around us. So self-respect and respect for others are two factors that also co-arise with mindfulness, as does faith and tranquility and lightness and malleability, wieldiness, proficiency, and rectitude. So I'm not going to, you know, like do a quiz on any of these qualities, but you can see that there are just lots of beneficial factors of mind that come up in any moment that we are truly mindful. Okay, so that's just a little bit of background about mindfulness and something that that, as most of you know, I just learned about this view of mindfulness a few months ago, and I've been really exploring it. And I think it's a very, very beneficial way to look at our practice. Okay, so now I'm going to move into talking about the four elements. But before I do, I want to say a couple of other things about why mindfulness is so important. Here's a quote from Jack Kornfield in The Wise Heart. Actually, he's quoting the Buddha here. "My friends, it is through the establishment of the lovely clarity of mindfulness that you can let go of grasping after past and future, overcome attachment and grief, abandon all clinging and anxiety, and awaken an unshakable freedom of heart here, now." So, you know, a lot's been said about mindfulness and why it's so important, and it's the basis of this practice that we do. But what is it that we're investigating when we're doing mindfulness? You know, what are we mindful of? Most of you have probably heard a lot about this one particular teaching of the Buddha, which is the Satipatthana Sutta, which is the sutta on the four establishments or foundations of mindfulness. And the four foundations of mindfulness are mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of feeling, mindfulness of mental states, and mindfulness of, variously translated as dharmas or consciousness, or it's basically how things interact in our mind to create conditions that lead us toward either more peace and happiness or not. So this sutta goes through all of those foundations of mindfulness, and the one that's probably the most extensive, well, I don't know if that's true. I'll retract that statement. Anyway, the first foundation of mindfulness, mindfulness of the body, has many, many different practices in it. And one of them is basic breath awareness, you know, which we were sort of doing tonight. One of them is mindfulness of the different postures of the body. So simply being aware when you're sitting, when you're standing, when you're lying down, when you're walking. And one of them is this teaching on the four elements. And these are the traditional four elements that were seen to comprise the world. The elements of earth, water, fire, and air. And I'm going to read a brief quote from the Satipatthana Sutta, because the instructions are very brief. The sutta says, "A monk reflects on this very body, however it be placed or disposed, by way of the material elements. There are in this body the element of earth, the element of water, the element of fire, the element of wind. Thus he lives contemplating the body in the body, internally or externally." And that's really all it says about these four elements. But when we actually notice the four elements in our bodies, it gives us a better way to define what we're actually feeling. So each element has a function and characteristics. So starting with the earth element, its function is to support. And the characteristics of the earth element are solidity and durability. And it's felt on a continuum of hardness to softness. So each of these elements, like earth, you would associate primarily with hardness. But it's also felt as the quality of softness. So that whole spectrum from hardness to softness comprises the earth element. It's also felt as a sense of gravity, strength, and immobility. And again, its function is to support. So if you think of the body, what system in the body provides the body's shape and support? The skeleton. And what is the quality of the skeleton? It's rigid and it's hard. Yeah. So you can really see, you know, how that works. Now, if you lay your hand on your cheek, it's soft and not rigid. That is also earth element, that softness. Now, we'll get into that a little bit more later. There's also a lot of water in there, right? So, okay, the water element. Now, this, when I first heard this, I was like, wow, that's interesting. The function of the water element is to bind things together. And you think of water as being runny, and so it's like, well, how does that work? And the analogy is, if you're making bread, you start out with a pile of flour, and it's all dry. And if you go, you know, it just disperses. But as soon as you mix it with water, that can't happen anymore. Then it has cohesion. And that sense of fluidity in a certain way bound into it. So water has the characteristic of fluidity or liquidity. It's felt on the continuum of wetness to dryness. So again, although water is wet, that continuum goes all the way to dry. And like when you feel, like if you're breathing through your mouth, say, and you feel dryness by the end of a meditation, that is water element. It's the other end of the water element spectrum, but it's still considered water element. So a few more characteristics. It is characterized by cohesion and flow and connectedness. So, you know, the old saying, if you dry up and blow away, that's exactly what happens, right? If all the water's gone. Okay. The next element is the fire element, and its function is to ripen things. So, you know, picture fruit ripening, or picture the sense of ripening, say, in metabolism or digestion. That's all bound up with fire element. Its characteristic is energy and warmth, and it is felt on the continuum from heat to coolness. So when you're feeling hot, that's fire element, and when you're feeling cold, that's also fire element. And some other associated characteristics are the heat of metabolism, the process of cooking or burning is all fire element, of course. And then the last one is the air or wind element, and its function is to move. So, for example, if you feel like tingling or vibration in your body, that is the wind element. Obviously, the breath moving in the body is also the wind element. And it is felt along the continuum of movement and stillness. Now, you can see that these elements have qualities that overlap. For example, I said that the earth element is immobile. And also, at the other end of the wind element spectrum is stillness. So there's some overlapping here. And the wind element, as I said, is characterized by vibration, by movement, and by expansion and contraction. So when you feel like throbbing in your body, or you feel the expansion and contraction of the breath, that cyclic movement is wind element. So in investigating the four elements, you start to see that you can get a little more precise in what you're feeling. For example, it was really interesting to me to realize at some point what the sensations were in an itch. I want you to think about that for a second. See if you can get really precise in thinking about what comprises an itch. And what element do you think, or elements do you think, are represented there?
Wind?
Yeah, there's vibration. There's like a tingling in the itch, right? Yep, that's one of them for sure. Yeah. What else? Or you don't even have to say what the element is. Just say what the characteristics are of an itch.
Could be burning.
Burning, yeah. Burning? You were going like this, Betty.
I don't know what that would be.
Hurt, yes, that's painful.
Desire to apply some earth, some solid scratching. Yes.
Uh-huh, desire to apply earth, yeah. And, well, I think there's also like a prickling sensation, right? Like you're being poked a little bit. And that would be earth sensation, the earth element. So earth element, there's vibration, there's heat. I think the only thing I can't find in an itch is water.
Until you get calamine lotion.
It could could be the anti-itch. I'm sorry?
Dryness.
Dryness. Okay, so yeah, an itch could, yeah. So there's water element. So you can see that this, it gives you a slightly different way of breaking down sensations. So for example, if you're having a pain in the knee, there might be a tearing sensation or pressure. Pressure would probably be a combination of earth element and air element. There might be throbbing. That would be air element. There might be heat, for sure. So it just gives you a different vocabulary to explore what it is you're actually feeling. And it can be really fun. That can really increase concentration when you're sitting. It's like, you know, notice the breath and notice, wow. You know, like how do you know, here's a question, how do you know the in-breath from the out-breath? What's different?
Heat.
Yeah. Say more about that, John.
Well, it's warm coming out and cold coming in.
It's cooler going in and warmer coming out. Yeah. Okay, great. What else? What else do you notice?
It's an exchange.
I'm sorry?
An exchange.
It's an exchange,
oxygen,
yeah.
Yeah. Dioxide.
Yeah.
Monoxide.
Uh-huh.
Dioxide.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute.
Just expanding on the end and contracting on the out.
Yeah, so there's a difference in pressure. You feel the expansion on the in and the contraction on the out. Yeah.
There's a sound, too.
Uh-huh.
There's a sound which I think, you know, can be pretty interesting when you're really very still and can hear it.
Yeah, the sound of the breath. And it might be different on the in-breath from the out-breath. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Lauren.
The direction of flow of air.
The direction of the flow of air. And where do you feel that?
My nose.
In your nose. You can feel, yeah. It's like going that way, going in, and going that way, going out. Yeah. Great. Okay. So anyway, you can start to see that this can help you refine your awareness of particular sensations. The other thing that it does is it helps us depersonalize what's going on in our bodies to get us below the level of stories and to the immediate experience. Because usually we're so caught up in our assumptions about what's going on that we're not really present for the moment-to-moment experience of it. I remember a long time ago in the pretty near the beginning of my practice, a teacher said, you know, in doing a guided meditation in a group like this, he said, feel the sensation of your clothes on your skin. And I couldn't feel it. And I was like, I was shocked that something so basic and present all the time, I was not tuned into at all in my body. And so I made an unconscious intention to become more aware of that. And of course, over time I did. And at some point on a retreat I was doing, I noticed that when I was doing walking meditation, I noticed that not only could I feel the socks on my feet, but I could tell which socks I was wearing by how they felt. You know, whether they were thin or thick or cushy or whatever. And so it's really, you know, a way of getting you more at home in your body and in contact with life as it's happening moment to moment, which is not something mystical. It's something completely miraculous. I'm not discounting that at all. But it's very ordinary, and we often overlook it. So, okay. So I want to return a minute to the second part of that quote that I read. I'll read the whole thing again. A monk reflects on this very body, however it be placed or disposed, by way of the material elements. There are in this body the element of earth, the element of water, the element of fire, the element of wind. Thus he lives contemplating the body in the body, internally or externally. So I want to talk about a couple of pieces of that quote. A monk reflects on this very body. So that means each person reflects on their own body. Okay, so feeling what's going on right here. You know, you're not thinking about it. You're allowing yourself to directly experience it. And that is the key to developing insight, because you start to see the truth of everyday reality as it is. You start to see the moment-by-moment change that's always happening, the constant flow of change, the impermanence of life. You start to see that it's all happening more or less without you. I mean, you know, we're not in charge, right? So you start to see the impersonality of the process that we are. And you start to see that it's, at its base, pretty unsatisfactory to have a body that is going to get sick and get old and die. So it's those insights that lead to liberation. And that's why this practice is such a powerful one. Okay, anyway, so a monk reflects on this very body, you know, on what's going on in the moment, in the direct experience. And it's so hard for us to grasp that because we're often so caught up in our assumptions, our expectations, our plans, that we're not really here right now. Okay. And then this phrase at the end, thus he lives contemplating the body in the body. Not contemplating the body in the mind, but contemplating it in the direct experience of the body. And then this phrase, internally or externally. What that means is that internally, the practitioner is experiencing for herself what's going on in this body. But as she reflects or contemplates externally, it's that it's also going on in that body, and in that body, and in that body, and in that body. So it starts to break down the barriers between us and others as we see the similarities, which then, of course, gives rise to a sense of compassion. So that's what this phrase internally and externally means. That comes up again and again in the teachings. You contemplate whatever you're contemplating internally in your own experience, and then you reflect that other people have this experience as well. All righty. So in that way, reflecting on the four elements allows us to understand our connection to the physical world in a different way. We see the elements that make up everything outside of us also make up or manifest inside our bodies. So, you know, this room, the wood would be largely earth element. At some point, it also, of course, had water element in it and air element and everything else. But, you know, you just can start to really relate to the elements around you as well as those internal to you. Thich Nhat Hanh says that every time we eat, the whole living world is represented in each bite of food that we take. Because, of course, you know, the food came out of the earth. So there's the minerals and the elements that came out of the earth that were incorporated in the plant, that then were eaten by the animal, maybe, if we're eating meat, or, you know, that were just incorporated into the plant. Well, the plant depended on sunlight, the fire element, on the water that came down as the rain, and on the nutrients from the wind in terms of oxygen, carbon dioxide in the case of the plant. I think Gerard, you were saying about the exchange of carbon dioxide and oxygen. You know, anytime we're in the presence of plants, I don't think there's any
flowers
behind me. Okay. I thought there was somebody back there. you know, you can reflect on the fact that you are actively nurturing the plant in your room, as well as the plant is actively nurturing you. And it goes even beyond that some of the molecules that were in your body 5 minutes ago are now in the plant and vice versa. So So when you start to break it down on that level, where do you end and the plant begins? Where does the plant end and you begin? So you start to really sense the interconnectedness of life. There's a quote that Jack Kornfield uses in one of his books, which is in the form of a question and answer, and the question is something like, what is the chance that any breath that you take will contain a molecule from Julius Caesar's dying breath? And it's something like 95%. Based on the fact that Julius Caesar died a couple thousand years ago, that his breath, his dying breath, had an estimated N billion oxygen cells in it, or oxygen molecules in it, and that they've had that amount of time to disperse around the world. You know, so I don't know. It's amazing. Which, you know, how many kidneys has this water passed through? You know, I mean, in a way, that's not so pretty to think about, but in a way, it's amazing. You know, I mean, this water has been in the ocean. It's been in the sky. It's been in the trees. It's been in the earth. It's been in some farmer's well. It's come up. It's been drank by an elephant. I mean, you know, you could just go on and on. Yeah.
Maybe that's what, when it says in the Bible, every grain of sand is counted.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's getting at that same concept.
And the synapses
in our brains.
Trillions.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Wow. Makes me think my work will never be finished if I'm going to try and delve into all that. Let's see. I'm going to read one more quote here. I'm going to read a couple more quotes. This one's again from Jack Kornfield in The Wise Heart. These four elements are a description of how we directly experience the body. If you close your eyes and feel carefully, you won't feel a body. Body is only a word, the idea or concept level. What you will actually feel are areas of hardness and softness, of pressure, heaviness, and textures, such as rough and smooth. This is the earth element. You will also feel areas of warmth and coolness. This is the fire or temperature element. You will feel areas of vibrations and stillness. This is the air or vibratory element. And you will feel cohesion and fluidity. This is the water element. You only need to blink your eyes or swallow to sense it. We know our body most directly this way. A direct investigation of these bodily elements can free us from deep layers of identification and entanglement. And then a couple of quotes from Eckhart Tolle. Although body identification is one of the most basic forms of ego, the good news is that it is also the one that you can most easily go beyond. This is done not by trying to convince yourself that you are not your body, but by shifting your attention from the external form of your body and from thoughts about your body, beautiful, ugly, strong, weak, too fat, too thin, to the feeling of aliveness inside it. No matter what your body's appearance is on the outer level, beyond the outer form, it is an intensely alive energy field. Actually, I'm going to stop with that one, I think. And Philip Moffat has a quote where he says, "Master the body and you master the mind." Indeed, you know, if you get to know what it is to be in this body, it allows you to ground yourself in a completely different way. It allows you to get beyond some of the difficult mind states that often come up. So I'm going to stop here for a minute and see if there are questions, and then I thought we would do a guided meditation on the four elements in the body. So let's see if there's any questions first of all. Betty.
Well, I have a question. I always thought of the four elements as being more, I identified more with emotional states.
Oh, okay.
Like fire, with rage and such.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But the question that came up to me, is it possible that illnesses are when we are weighted more on one element? Like if neurological things might be more when our body is we identify more.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly, I think, the Chinese medicine view of illness, is that the elements get out of balance. Yeah.
Ayurvedic medicine.
Or Ayurvedic medicine, yeah.
That really reminded me a lot of that, you know, water and fire elements.
Yeah.
The Egyptians, too, and maybe the Greeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, in ancient times, that was the whole framework by which the world, the physical world, was viewed, was through those four elements. Now, the Tibetans and maybe the Chinese, I think the Chinese too, also add the element of space. Space. Yeah. Because if there weren't space, we'd all still be that little dot, right?
Some also add, I think, a gas, like ether or spirit.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Elizabeth, you had your hand up.
Well, if you're meditating and you're thinking about, you know, you're feeling, say, a pain in your leg.
Uh huh.
And you're thinking about, you know, is this harder? Is it part heat? How is that? That's not feeling it. That's thinking it.
You're right. It's using a more refined level of concepts to get closer to the actual experience. So yes, it is still using the conceptual mind. I found that allowed me to be more present for the experience, though. It's like having a better map of the terrain. And then it allows you to be there with the experience in a more subtle way, I guess. Yeah.
It seems to me that it takes me away from the experience.
Okay.
If when I use words, it's I think I get close. If I'm just with it, you know, it's kind of like different learning styles.
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. And that's why the Buddha gave so many different ways of being mindful. You know, he gave, there's 40 or more ways in the Satipatthana Sutta of being mindful. Any of those ways is a way that will lead to more liberation. And one of the things that made him such a skillful teacher was that he could read his audience and adapt the teachings to what was going to work for a particular person. So it's very important to be in touch with that sense for yourself of what works and what does not. Anything else? Okay, well, so let's sit comfortably again. And we're going to just do a period of meditation where we go through each of the elements in turn and just get to experience them. So once again, settling into a comfortable upright posture. Feeling the weight of your body in the chair. And the touch of your feet on the floor. Noticing the position of your hands. And as much as you can, letting go of tension in the face, in the jaw, in the neck and shoulders, allowing the arms and hands to relax, relaxing the belly and the chest. The buttocks. And the legs and feet. And now taking a few full deep breaths. Inhaling deeply and fully, filling up with air, and then blowing it all the way out. And again, filling up fully and completely, and then letting the air go all the way out, and doing a third full deep breath. Bringing in new air and then flushing out the old. And now bringing awareness to a sense of the body as a whole. The whole field of experience that's inside your skin. Continuing to breathe easily. And letting your attention settle to where you feel the breath most strongly. Now bringing attention to your bones, the shape of your skeleton. Gently rub your teeth together to feel their hardness. And move your jaw around a bit to get a sense of the bones of your skull. Feel the support of your skeleton allowing you to remain upright. Shift again to feel the hardness of your teeth. Now move awareness to the sensation of your lips touching each other. Move them a little bit against each other to feel their softness. Hardness and softness. This is the earth element in you. Now sense the wetness inside your mouth. Move your tongue around a little to feel the saliva. And move your eyes back and forth underneath the eyelids to feel the fluidity there. Feel or imagine the blood moving in your veins. And sense the fleshy quality of the body, permeated and held together by water. The composition of our blood and sweat and tears. It's very close to the composition of seawater. And now rub your cheek or rub your hands together and feel relative dryness. Once again, returning to the feeling of your tongue inside your mouth, the wetness of the saliva, wetness and dryness. This is the water element in you. Now bring attention to some place in your body where you feel warmth. Could be in your hands, or your face, or your bottom. Sense the energy of life within you. Be aware of the process of digestion and metabolism that's keeping you warm. See if you can feel the coolness of the in-breath in your nostrils. And the warmth of the out-breath that's been warmed by the life in your body. Sun's energy brought into the body in the nutrients released by the burning of metabolism. And then kept at homeostasis, life. And now notice someplace on your body where you can feel coolness. Maybe your arms or ears or knees. Heat and coolness. This is the fire element in you. Now return to the breath. Feel the air moving in and out of your lungs. Feel the pulsing movement of life in the heart's pulse, in the rising and falling of the chest. Find some place where there is tingling or vibration. Maybe in the hands or in the nostrils as the breath comes in. Notice that feeling of aliveness that comes with that tingling. And now find a place in the body that feels still, quiet. movement and stillness. This is the air element in you. Now stay again with the breath, noticing the inflow and outflow. Now continuing with a relaxed and open awareness, we'll begin a deliberate scan down the entire length of the body. Starting with the top of the head, just noticing, not looking for anything in particular. There may be strong sensation or lack of sensation. Let attention move down the back of the head, and now the sides of the head, including the ears. Now the forehead, eyes, nose, cheeks, lips, and jaw. As much as possible, let this be a direct experience of the body, of the sensations in the body, so that you're not having a mental vision of looking at the body, but rather are sensing it from the inside. Sinking into the parts of the body as you scan them. If images or thoughts come up, just noticing them and letting them go, returning to the experience of the body. Moving down the neck and the throat. Sensing the shoulders from the inside. Letting awareness come down inside the arms and hands. Noticing their position. Feel each finger, the palms, the back of the hands. Use the four elements to help you specify what you're feeling. heat or pressure or dampness or tingling, coolness, softness. Moving down through the chest and abdomen. The upper back, the shoulder blades. Lower back, the hips and buttocks, bringing awareness inside your thighs. Hardness of the bones and the softness of the flesh. The warmth, the blood flowing. And moving awareness into the lower legs. Ankles, and finally into the feet, noticing the pressure of feet on the floor, soles of the feet, the tops of the feet. All of the toes. Now returning again to a sense of the whole body. Resting in awareness. Feel life living through you. This miraculous field of living energy.